Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Resilience Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we connect community leaders who are having a positive and significant impact on our youth. I am your host, Cynthia Deal, along with our producer, Karen Nowicki. With us in the studio today, we're representing Ottawa University from Surprise, Arizona. And with us, we have Dr. Amy Hogan, who is the Academic Dean of Arizona. We have Dr. Lily Davidoff, who is the Assistant Professor of Business, along with David Barnes, who is the Executive Director of University Advancement. We are delighted to have all of you with us today. Amy, I'm going to have you kick us off. I would like for you to give us just a little bit of history and background behind Ottawa University.
Certainly, Cynthia. Ottawa University has more than a 152-year history educating students for lives of significance. The roots of the university can be found in the works of the Baptist missionaries in collaboration with the Ottawa Indian tribe. The relationship between the university and the tribe remains strong today, and we have right now about 8 residential and adult campuses,
okay.
2 residential campuses, 1 in Ottawa, Kansas, and 1 here in Surprise, Arizona, newly adopted, and then 6 adult campuses throughout the United States in Wisconsin, Kansas, and Arizona.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the Ottawa University campus was born?
Well, the Ottawa University campus was actually born in 1865 with a group of Baptist missionaries, and those particular missionaries wanted to actually have a relationship with the tribe in terms of having some adoption with children learning about education. So it was actually for children at first, and then it morphed into a university structure.
Okay. So the campus, though, in Surprise, Arizona, this is your first year, correct?
It is. However, we've been in the Valley for 40 years as an adult campus, first in 1977 here in mid-central Phoenix.
Okay.
And then we actually had a campus in Chandler at one point in time, and we're also in Queen Creek as well. But currently here in the Valley, we have adopted the campus in Surprise, which is a residential campus, and we opened in September of this year.
Great. Mm-hmm. Amy and Lily, both, I know you guys are really big into the personal growth of the students and supporting the students. Could either of you just kind of start us off with what does that look like when you're coming alongside your students on the campus and you're supporting them?
Well, a couple things. We really adopted a unique curricula for the Surprise campus for our residential students. And the idea was to have a day that was dedicated to professional growth. So they have an academic structure on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday where they could do coursework. But Wednesday is dedicated for our professional growth days. That professional growth experience starts with a spiritual life session, where we actually meet together as a whole entire campus, and we either have a motivational speaker or we have a Christian speaker or we have other types of discussions in the morning. And then we meet for lunch as a whole entire campus called a gathering. And then after that, we move into professional growth and development seminars from there. I believe Lily could speak a little bit about those particular seminars.
Yes, please.
So the seminars are designed to where the first 2 months we were concentrated on significance. And the students were either self-selecting or we were picking a student who needs certain areas to be improved on. So the seminars were divided on personal finance, stress management, goal setting, and time management. So they would go in and they would learn for 4 weeks about these concepts. And they would have spreadsheets for personal finance to fill out and look into and reflect on their own personal finance and where they go, what they do. Goal settings was more motivational, also teach them how to set goals and how to achieve goals. Stress management more was for students who just moved out of home and were missing home, had a lot going on because most of our students are athletes.
Okay.
So not only academia, they also do a lot with their coaches. So that helped them out as well.
Great.
Well, and how we actually went about trying to figure out which sessions our students would actually be in for those first 4 weeks was through a Smarter Measure analysis. The students prior to actually coming to us started a Smarter Measure analysis, and that allowed us to see what kind of resources they really had at this point in time.
Tell me a little bit about the SMARTER, the
measure analysis.
Yes.
So they were looking at aspects of their time, looking at aspects of goal management, looking at aspects of their mathematical experiences, how they actually see their finances at this point in time, how they see their relationships, and then also what do they do underneath pressure. And that particular measurement allowed them to really look at inside themselves to see what are they really good at and what do they need to kind of work on and what could we really foster through that significance experience.
I really like that. The reason I started the Resilience Radio segment was I was reading some research papers and some articles on our youth. Over 55% lack hope, that they don't have any hope at all. And I think we know what happens, or we can get a pretty good visual of what happens when somebody walks around with no hope. They get pretty desperate. One of the things in one of the research articles that I was reading is the lack or their lack of ability to be able to set goals and be able to achieve them. And that just blew my mind away. So I've heard through both you, Lily and Amy, I hear this achieving goals or setting goals. So that kind of seems to be a common thread.
Well, and it seems to be something that our students are highly interested in as well. They're trying to figure out how do you navigate short-term goals and how do you navigate long-term goals. And it does create a little bit of anxiety for the students. They have goals, obviously, in their health and wellness. They have goals in their family commitments. They have goals in faith. They have goals in their academic achievements. You know, there's several different layers of goals that they're always thinking of, but they don't necessarily understand how to realize them.
Right. Well, and in the article went even further to say when they don't know how to do that, that's where there's no resilience. And then the hope, the hope just goes away. I know when I did one of the classes there at Ottawa, it was interesting. I did a little bit of a survey on three different questions, and one of them was their ability to set goals. And over half of them, it was 4 or below that said no, they didn't feel that comfortable with setting goals. The other thing that I thought was very interesting, not necessarily surprising, but another one of the survey questions I asked is, how well do you feel known by your teachers, your parents, your peers, your coaches, on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, do you feel like the people around you really understand you or know who you are? Most of them, I think it was like 3.5 below. It was like 38 of them out of 43 were like, no, they didn't feel like they really were understood. Mm-hmm. So, Lily, can you speak to a little bit about the Odawe?
So we have an Odawe Center. What Odawe means in Ottawa means to trade. So there are 4 of us. We're Odawe mentors. We all have each of us have areas of expertise. So I'm Odawe mentor for business and communication students. Ms. Bucciagrossi is the Odawe for education. Mrs. Montana is for exercise science, sports studies, bio majors. And we also have Dr. Thompson, who is for psych majors. So each student is actually somewhat attached to the mentor. And on Wednesday morning, before we go to church and chapel, there's a time for them to come and speak to us. We also have office hours that they come and they talk to us. I know my mentees by name. Some of them actually wanted to speak with me on a weekly basis. And they come in and it's like, Dr. D, I want to meet with you every week. I want to stay. And we talk about different things, different challenges. Goal settings. Some may be getting homesick, and we talk about that. Some come in maybe once a month or once a semester when the scheduling, or some every day. So it's really important that they know that there is someone there for them. We also talk about, we have some juniors and seniors. So we also talk about, what are you going to do when you're done here? So right now, this next Wednesday, I'm meeting with a couple employees in town that are looking for internship for communication majors. So we're meeting, they're going to come on campus, they're going to see who we are, what we are, and maybe possibly meet with a couple of students. So when students are done, they may have possible employment.
I really like the Odawe. I'm assuming that that's the equivalent to like what they would call a guidance counselor, but I like...
Well, I always tell my students, everybody should have a mentor. And, you know, I am in my career, but I have mentors.
Right.
I have different type of mentors. And their coaches are actually, it's a collaborative effort. It's not just us. We work very close with their coaches and with their teachers. So it's us all together working with that student. And every student is very special and very important.
What do you guys sense is one of the students' biggest struggles that you've seen since you guys started this fall?
It's actually study habits. And to parallel some of the conversations that Lily was starting with there, she's also one of the instigators of showing and modeling study habits. We
like watch instigator. I like that.
Yes.
She actually puts, she basically has set up a classroom that she goes into and she does her homework or her grading and her evaluation work while she invites students to either eat with her or dine with her while they're also doing their homework. And it's a really clever way to help model the behaviors in terms of what do I need to do to study appropriately.
Sometimes I get them ice cream next time. I promise I'll bring them some snacks. But I don't know, I'm like, what do you guys eat? Because they're so different. They're like fruit snacks. So next time we're going to bring some fruit snacks for them. Mm-hmm. But it's, so what I see in our students, I think for them is to start that homework, just to come. And then they come, they sit in, they're like, I'll come, I'll ask a lot of questions. I said, it's fine, just come and sit with me. And they don't ask any questions, just get it done. Mm-hmm. I think it's that comfort that there is somebody in there that I can ask questions. And they come in for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they're like, are you done? Yeah, I'm done. And sometimes they do ask questions, and then three or four will know, oh, I had the same question. Mm-hmm. So and then we'll go over the concept. It's actually fun. I like it.
Well, it's kind of a community.
Yeah.
I don't like working by myself.
Right.
I like to be, I like to have that energy with people around me and stuff so I can completely relate to that.
Well, when you think about relationships, it really is about being social with each other, whether that's actually, sitting and talking with each other or just being near somebody
exactly.
else.
Yeah. I know being a sole entrepreneur and working by myself, I know my personality well enough that I do get energy off of other people. So I go to the co-working spaces, even like what you said, Amy, even if I don't talk with anybody, it's just that energy of being around in a community. So I completely relate to that.
And our educational student is supported by Ms. Butcher Gracie. What she does on Wednesday, she has a lunch and learn with them. So she's actually talking about different things, different challenges they might, educational students, and Amy can speak more to that. Whatever schools they're working with, if they have troubles with the kids or
their cooperating teacher or their mentors that they're working with in the school district, she can help also navigate the challenges that you have in terms of the back office talk that's done in schools or in public places today that really probably shouldn't be occurring, but the students are concerned about because it is occurring.
Yeah, right.
And Dr. Thompson actually does with Polynesian kids, right? She had, it was so, so sweet. On Friday, I was leaving and they had, all the kids were gathered and they brought their food, fry bread. Oh, it was so delicious. And they were having, they were all sitting there and singing song. And I was rushing to Phoenix campus for my international students because Dr. Hogan was waiting for me. But I stopped. I'm like, I got to see this because they're sitting there and they're eating and they're singing. And it's just my soul just got lift up. I'm like, oh my God, I want to be here. I want to see. Wow. And it was just so amazing. They all, and I think during the holidays, it's very important that they can practice their culture and that. So that's what Dr. Thompson does. And so it's all of us together.
I know I have been there a couple of Wednesdays where you have like the lunch and it's just the hustle and the bustle. And it seems like a really nice large family, mm-hmm. just everybody in community together and sitting outside or in the foyer area there. It seems like you've created a really almost like a home atmosphere for them.
Well, and we have a very rich campus in terms of its environment. We have lots of open space, which allows us to have spaces on the grassy lawn, spaces around the rose bushes, spaces indoors and outdoors, where the students can really enjoy some time together.
David.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good. Can you give us a little bit background and history and your participation in Ottawa University?
Sure. You bet.
And what your role is?
Yeah, I'm the Dean of Student Affairs. I also work university relations, if you will, external relations and raising of resources and so forth. But with bringing up this campus with our first class of students, even though we're 152 years old, large part of my work has been in the Dean of Student Affairs area. And building on the conversation that's already here, you know, a couple of students came to mind that I think are interesting because, you know, it is a family. And as in a family, sometimes, you know, as a parent, you have to practice some tough love in a situation. Yes. Sometimes you have to back off a little bit. And, you know, there's a couple students I'm working with right now. One incredibly talented person. At the same time, he's exhibiting incredible leadership, creating opportunities for student activity and so forth. At the same time, he needed a little bit of kick in the pants, you know, academically. And in building a relationship with this student, you know, I've been able to do that in a way that I feel is appropriate for him. And he's now finding another gear to do that. You know, and there's another student I'm thinking about that just transitionally, you know, it's a struggle for him. It's a cultural shift. It's a big transition coming into school. As he started to open up more in conversation, which took him a while to do, because they have to trust that you have their best interest in mind. In our Spirit Life weekly chapel event the other week, I used a scripture passage to open that up, where in the Message translation, Philippians chapter 4, I think this would be a poster that would be great in every business in America and around the world. The verse basically says to let people know that you're working with them and not against them. And so with that in our hearts, that's what we're attempting to do with our students. And this other particular student I was referencing, you know, there could be something deeper there that he needs to work on, because I know he's having difficulty concentrating. He's got the transition to college issues going on. I believe he's got a tremendous amount of ability. In his case, however, it's important for me to be serving at an institution that cares, because from a comprehensive perspective and attempting to help the student, you know, we're guiding him into counseling that could lead to an appointment with a physician. There could be something there that needs to happen medically that will just open up a new horizon for him and enable him to be able to focus and really tap into his ability that's there. But I don't think he knows it right now, because he just can't concentrate for whatever reason.
So I'm curious, did these two particular students you're referring to, did they seek you out or did you seek them out?
That's a good question. The first one I was talking about, he sought me out, but we were working on all the other things that he was incredibly showing leadership on. And someone else came to me on our team and said, you know what? There's some other issues you might want to be aware with some areas where he's transitioning. And once I found that out, because of the relationship I had been building with him, it put me in a position where I could speak into that.
So one of the tasks that the Adalway mentors have, as well as myself, is to watch to see what relationships are being developed on campus, and then to very much promote the aspects of how do we continue to cultivate good behaviors and how do we cultivate understanding of goals and other academic achievements, as well as personal life achievements. So what David's actually showing you is that modeling behavior of where we reached out to David after we noticed that particular relationship being expanded and said, hey, this kid's kind of in trouble. We need some additional assistance.
The reason I did ask the question is, how many students do you have on campus?
About 413.
Okay. You guys surpassed your goal, I think, didn't you?
We did.
That's what I thought. So congratulations to you on that. I'd like to think that I could reach all of them. And I'm sure you, all of three of you, feel the same way. I even hate to say it, but unfortunately, I don't think we can. But the reason I did ask the question is there are a lot of kids that go unseen. That, and so, you know, is it the ones that are taking the initiative to come out and reach out to you? Or do you see some of them? And kind of, you said that you did. You kind of picked this one out. So,
you know, and there's another person I wasn't even mentioning. We were, a couple days ago, we had our Thanksgiving meal for the students. And so many of us who are leaders at the school were serving Thanksgiving dinner to our students. So it's another, and all the roles were filled. Somebody was serving the turkey, someone was serving the ham, and I was looking for something to do. So I grabbed the plates and I just said, you know what, I'm going to give them a plate when they come in, because it's an excuse where I can interact with them.
Right.
Welcome, here's your plate, enjoy, happy pre-Thanksgiving. In the course of that, you know, I mentioned our weekly Spirit Life event where we bring all of our student body and our faculty staff together. Well, this young man, I don't know, I'd never met him before. He had seen me in that public space because I host that event. And he said, well, hello. I handed him his plate. He said, aren't you the school psychiatrist? And I said, no, but I play one on TV. Yeah. He kind of laughed. And I said, now I am the person, you know, with, I can help you get connected to whatever you need. He said, you know, there's several things coming on. I want to talk with you as soon as we get out, back after break. I don't know where that will go when he reaches back out to me. But he saw something where he got to a point where, hey, maybe I can talk to this person. And in other cases, it's like Dr. Hogan was saying, you know, we see something and we're alert, we're observant, we have a team, a great team, and we lean on each other and we help one another with the same common objective. With, I was thinking about this earlier. There's the age-old question when you're an instructor. You hear instructors talk about they would rather have a student class of a student who's all like, so, you know, they're easy to work with and they're easy to teach. My personality embraces, and Ottawa University embraces too, a very diverse culture. And so whatever that student body is, they that student met the admissions requirement. They're one of our family. And where are they at? And how do we connect with them for them to reach their potential toward a life of significance? And it happens in very different ways.
Yeah, you. I'm on your website, and in a lot of the materials that I've read over, you guys really stress this personal significance. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Well, the aspect of personal significance is not necessarily achieving great success. It's how do you help others in your success? So it's more about that relationship piece. How are you making differences in other people's lives? How are you making differences in the world? How, what's your position on God and humanity, and how are you helping with that? Those are the aspects of significance that we try to cultivate with our students. And we try to have them really look inward to try to figure out what do they need to help with outward.
I really like that. I'm working with a nonprofit organization called Scott's Foundation, and we just had a meeting on Monday. They work with foster kids. They teach them the same thing, which I think is just amazing, given the lives, you know, that they've gone through. Partially, I mean, just as children, as teens, but for them to teach them how can they give back? Because what it does is it you just see the lights go off, and it just empowers them, and they feel significant because they have learned how to give back and what does that look like and feel like. So I think it's huge.
Well, and part of that is also cultivated in our life plan narrative. Each year, our students write a life plan narrative and they redraft it year after year until their senior year. And it has six components to it. One being the academic and the intellectual growth. Another one being the personal relationships, identity formation, career and lifestyle, health and wellness, and faith development. So those are the pieces that we hope will help them figure out how do they gain a life of significance. Right.
So this is your first year. Where do you guys see yourself headed down the road? What are some big dreams for Ottawa University?
It's not about the numbers, but numbers are representative of impact. You know, so I believe as our community and the region of the country begins to understand more about this richness and depth of Ottawa University, because, you know, we've been out here in the Phoenix metropolitan area for 40 years serving adult learners, but we've been serving students since the 1850s.
Yeah.
And now within this special opportunity of opening a second residential campus, our community and our region is just beginning to learn about this aspect of Ottawa University, which is truly, it might be arguable, I was going to say our deepest, most venerable, you know, going back to the 1850s. But, you know, the adult program and the graduate programs and the online, those are all deeply rich as well. So it's my belief that as the community finds out about these various unique aspects cutting edge pieces at Ottawa University. It is going to grow numerically. Mm-hmm. We're anticipating up to about 3,000 students within a 10-year time frame.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
And every one of those students, what thrills me is that we're giving them the mission, the ethos, you know, the heartbeat of Ottawa University with every person that comes our way. You know, that's exciting, life-changing stuff, not only for the individual student, but for us who serve them and for our community and our world that then is impacted by our students who go forth.
Question, why Surprise, Arizona?
Well, Surprise, Arizona is a place that feels like home for Ottawa. If we look at Ottawa, Kansas, where Ottawa, Kansas is located in the Kansas City area, it's just a little bit outside of the reach of Kansas City. Right. Surprise initially was just a little bit outside of the reach of the Phoenix area. And the two areas are very much alike in terms of the aspect of space, the aspect of having some just ground around it for the most part.
Okay.
But also the relationship with the city is amazing. There's some type of connection of home there in terms of the city influences, the city community, the love and the empowerment that they've had in caring for us, as well as us caring for them. I think it's a mutual respect of each other. And as we've even joked a little bit amongst the executive team with the city folks as well, is that, you know, right now we're the infants and you love us and you adore us, but someday we will be the adolescents. And what will that look like? You know, there's a good relationship there and it just feels like home for us.
Very nice. Very nice. Lily, you touched a little bit about the athletic side of things. So is that a big area for Ottawa University?
Well, the initial development for this particular campus came out of the idea that in order to find a significant growth of student population, we would start with athletics.
Okay.
In part because once you hire coaches, they are able to fill the teams that they are actually working with and then bring in the next population for our performing arts side of the house.
Okay.
But it has been a model that's worked for us at this point in time, and we're seeing good benefits out of it.
Good, good.
And good relationships with our coaches, too. It allows a sizable amount of employees and staff to be established at first, which was helpful.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go back to the personal growth day. I know when I first sat down with you, Amy, months and months and months ago, and please correct me if this is not going down the right path by any means, but I got the sense that this was kind of a new concept or development because you guys felt like this was such a missing component in our students' lives.
Well, we really felt the aspect of mentoring and relationship building is missing in the current generation at this point. And that was part of the reason for the Personal Growth Day. The other piece was to look at pieces that business leaders are looking for at this point in time in terms of their employees and the idea of college readiness, career readiness, coming back from the high school experiences, but moving into the academic experiences of your undergraduate work, what else needs to be cultivated in order to be ready for that business space.
Okay.
And some of that's not necessarily designed in your curriculum and theory pathways.
Right.
Some of those soft skills still need to be developed on the outside edges, and the professional growth days allow that to happen. We can actually do measurements of that from an outcomes-based perspective as well.
Very nice. Yeah, because I'm not that well educated in terms of all what the universities, you know, have to offer, but I think that's a very unique piece that you guys offer that a lot of universities don't.
You know, if I may, I reference it this way quite often. It's absolutely a way that Ottawa University differentiates itself from other institutions. We do not know of another institution that's doing what we're doing with the personal growth days. At the same time, it's an opportunity for a student to differentiate themselves as well, because they're coming to an institution that has the expected accreditation and strong academics and preparation for your major and your profession of choice. Now, we're adding to that this entire other element of life and work readiness. And so the student has the opportunity to differentiate themselves in the marketplace too, by all the various things that they are doing on Wednesday.
I just think it's a powerful, powerful thing that you guys have implemented into. Well,
and earlier we actually mentioned the first four sessions that we had done, which were based on significance. Then we move into faith and service sessions, where the students are out in the community doing volunteer work with organizations, okay, agencies within the community. Some of those are career-based tracks. Others of them are simply volunteer from the heart. And then we moved into a leadership and service week. Mm-hmm. And those leadership tracks, Lily could speak to the four that we used for that particular track series.
So once we were done with personal significance, we reflected and we see what's next. And along with our Dana School of Business, we put together the leadership track that was covering emotional intelligence, team dynamics, stress management. No, it wasn't stress management. It was creativity and change management.
Okay.
So students went into those, and then they were, and we have people that came outside from other universities, people that are working in the community right now and taught those sections. And it was nice to see what they think about our students, mm-hmm, and what they say, where's the strengths, where are the weaknesses. It's interesting when, you know, I teach business math, and in business math, we talk about different business ways to run business, and we talk about credit cards and things. And then I was covering something to do with daily versus monthly interest. And a couple of students like, hey, that's what Kate was covering in that. I was like, exactly. See how it all connects.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see that not only they're learning in the classroom, but they also learn something else and they connect. Speaking about businesses, there's a lot of research shows that many small businesses and mid-sized corporations are failing because of the lack of leadership, not because the entrepreneur didn't know how to run their business, but they actually didn't have those soft skills that we're teaching them.
Right.
And these are the skills that we're actually trying to bring in. And if you also look at the large corporations and where they spend their money, they're actually spending a lot of money on teaching their employees being creative, teaching their employees how to adapt change. So our students kind of have already inside information, yeah, when they go into the world.
No, and I think that is very valuable and important. You know, with all the research that Gallup has done, this the whole concept around engagement, and there's just the lack of engagement. So that's kind of what I hear you saying is those soft skills. That's really what that is. Mm-hmm. So as we're kind of winding things down here a little bit, what else would you guys like to share about Ottawa University and what you guys are doing?
So my favorite thing is EMBA program for international students. It's executive MBA. We started about a year and a half ago. The program grew very much. I think we doubled so far. We also have several international students on campus at Surprise. We do some amazing things with those. So yeah.
Very fun.
It's interesting to see what their intake on American education, mm-hmm, and often, and actually in change management, the facilitator was running a little late, so I had to go in and talk. And then, so why don't we ask one of the international students, what do they think? And their perspective were saying, this is how it is in another country. And it was interesting how all the kids were looking at him like, wow, this is what you're experiencing. So they're actually shaping culture as well by sharing how it is in different countries. So that's one of the areas. I'm an international advisor, so.
Okay.
So those are amazing
valuable
kids. Yes.
Very valuable. Yeah. David or Amy, do you guys want to share anything that you would like the listeners to know about Ottawa University?
Well, I think one thing that I'd like to share as well, and at our Surprise campus, we have what we can coin as a pre-fall, which allows students to dip their toes basically into college before the full semester starts. And we started our freshman class with an orientation course for that particular, for this past particular pre-fall. That orientation course did some studies with Angela Duckworth's grit analysis.
Okay.
So it really showed them how much they really put effort into their work and how much they may not put effort into their work or why they do. So it's a good conversation with the young students.
So Well, obviously, this is your first year, first time you did it. Mm-hmm. So did you see some value in that? Will you be doing that again?
Well, we'll be taking some data and analysis work over the course of the winter break to check to see what we've actually seen in terms of improvements or even reflective environment.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Well, here's what came to mind when you asked that question. When you look at our student involvement, particularly when they're going to an athletic event, whether it's a women's volleyball game or a soccer game, the energy of the students, it's organic. There's not something any one person has done to inspire that, but there's this organic energy coming out of the students with their support and encouragement. The very first home volleyball match we had a couple of months ago, it was incredible with how our students were interacting and encouraging their classmates in this particular match. And you know, it's like I'm not sitting around as the dean of student affairs wondering how to create energy. You know, I'm thinking more, how do we not get in the way of that? You know, because it's organic. It really has happened organically. And the other thing I'd like to just mention is going into next year and the growth and development coming over the next several years, we've created a variety of what we call affinity scholarships. So in addition to, you know, the high-end academic awards and the athletic awards and so forth, these new affinity scholarships, if you're an engineer, you know, there's one for engineering. If you're planning to go into education, there's one for education. Also, outside of intercollegiate athletics, we're creating some special opportunities for club sports, which also will have some monetary encouragement in those arenas. So, I mean, these are truly sports, but they're just coming out of, they're going to be competing in the club sports environment, which is a growing segment in our country and in our region. So sports like bowling, ultimate frisbee, and so forth.
Fun.
We're really excited about that. Okay. And it's new.
Well, I would like to thank all of you today, Lily, David, and Amy, for being with us. And for sharing all the positive impact things that you were doing for our students, because that's what it's about. It's about, you know, coming alongside them, mentoring them, building them up, and showing them ways that they can have a significant impact outside of themselves. So thank you so much for what you're doing. If someone would like to contact you or learn more, how would they go about doing that?
The best case scenario is to go to our website at www.ottawa.edu, and you'll be able to find all of our contact phone numbers there.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Resilience Radio with Business Radio X, where we bring CEOs, community leaders together who are having a positive impact on Arizona's youth and young adults.